Hi, I'm Jipan, and this is China Economy Podcast, the podcast about Chinese economic reforms and challenges. Today, let me tell you the story about how the Chinese stock market ruined my vacation. It was summer 2015, and a lot of people had left the office. It seemed that the summer at the Treasury was going to be calm, and that I was going to be able to enjoy my travel on the Silk Road in Gansu with Colin, a great American friend. Colin is a lovely girl with a cute accent from Minnesota in the US. She is the most positive person I know, and it feels really good to be around her. So, we were really excited about the trip in Gansu.
So I was so excited to go, and you said you could come with me. And we got together, we bought the train tickets, everything was ready, and it was the night before we were going to leave that I got a phone call. We thought this was low. It's bad, getting worse. And it was you, and you were saying, Colleen, I am so sorry, there's...
At the time, Chinese stock market has started to drop very abruptly, triggering national and international concerns.
The economy is falling apart, and so I might not be able to go to the Silk Road with you. And I couldn't believe it. Like, we got all the train tickets, we got all the plane tickets, and all of a sudden, because the economy was having issues, this was going to completely impact our vacation. And in the end, you also said, and also the embassy is so exciting right now. Like, you weren't even like negative. We got
heaps and heaps of what we saw. So let's find out why what happened on Chinese stock markets was so exciting, and how did it affect our vacation? We will answer in the second episode the following questions. First, what was going on this summer? Second, why did the stock market crash at that time? We will discuss here some of the Chinese stock market specificities. We will begin with the very interesting feature of the Chinese financial structure, then we will see the impact of retail investors on Chinese stock market. And finally, we get to know better what is margin trading. Third, why on the first trading day of 2016 did the stock market crash a second time? Fourth, what is the impact of the stock market crash on Chinese economy and on world economy? First, what was going on this summer? On the 12th of June 2015, Shanghai Stock Index was above 5,000 points at its highest level of the history. At the time, few people knew that this day was going to be the last day of a prosperous period in Chinese stock markets. From the 12th of June to the 8th of July, the Shanghai Stock Index and the Shenzhen Stock Index have lost respectively 32% and 40% of their value. The authorities have reacted very strongly to the market panic. Here are two of the numerous policies that have been decided in the following month. The CSRC, Zhenquanhui, or the security regulator, have softened the regulation for margin trading, which is stock purchase with leverage. Second, big shareholders that own more than 5% of an individual stock, were not allowed to sell the stock for 6 months. Before this dramatic event, it is important to have in mind that Chinese stock markets, which are mainly two stock markets, one in Shanghai and one in Shenzhen, have been very stable since the year 2000, only to rise and fall with the financial crisis in 2008. However, since the second quarter of 2014, Chinese stock markets started to rise. The Shanghai and Shenzhen Composite Index have risen respectively 150% and 200% in 1 year from June 2014 to June 2015. Conclusion. After a year-long strong increase, Chinese stock markets have dropped very significantly, triggering a strong reaction from the authority. Next, our second question, what has caused the bubble on the stock market and what triggers the market crash?
Oh, Mr. Sullivan, you're here. Good morning. Maybe you could tell me what you think is going on here. And please, speak as you might to a young child or a golden retriever.
Okay, so to understand why the stock market has crashed, we first have to understand the reason that has led to the creation of a bubble. There are mainly three reasons that has led to the formation of a bubble. The first reason is related to Chinese financial structure specificity. The second one is the presence of a large number of retail investors on the markets. And the third is the use of margin financing or margin trading. Let's analyze those elements in detail. First, the Chinese financial structure has created conditions for excess liquidity and contributed to the formation of bubbles. Chinese government has been practicing what we can call financial repression since the mandate of Hu Jintao and Wang Jiabao, the former Chinese leader from 2004 to 2013. So, what is financial repression? Be ready for the definition. Financial repression are the policies that reduce household saving return in order to allow banks to provide cheap loans to companies and governments. China used two main tools to do that. First, China has a tightly regulated banking interest rate. The PBOC, the central bank, published two reference rates, one for the lending rate, the other for the saving rate, that banks had to follow closely. The saving rate, which is the interest rate that the household receive on their deposits, is maintained at a very low level. However, the interest rate regulation has been gradually eased in recent years. The second tool is the control of the financial account. This means that China makes it hard for investment flows to go in and out of the country. What does all that mean? Let's say that we are having a beer at Great Clip, one of my favorite bars in Beijing. So, you are a local household looking to invest your saving, I'm your bank, and the bar is China. Your saving rate is one of the highest in the world. You want to invest your money, what are your choices? You can first deposit to me your saving, but the interest rate that I will give you is very low. Let's say that I give you 1.5% interest rates because you're my friend. If you deposit your money to me, I'll be able to finance cheaply companies which explain the high investment rates in the bar slash China. Say that you're not happy with the low interest rate. What else can you do? You can give part of your money to this attractive blonde girl who represents real estate. The remuneration will be better, but the investment is not liquid, which means that it will be difficult and costly to sell. Also, you might not want to put all your eggs in the same baskets. And you'll start to look for other persons slash assets to invest in order to diversify. Then you turn your head to the left corner of the bar and you see a man in a dark jacket. He offers you 18% return and invests actually in eggs. But, well, he looks very suspicious. Finally, there are many persons outside of the bar who can offer you interesting investment return. But wait, the financial account is tightly controlled, which means that it will be very tedious for you to invest outside of the bar. In the end, you are left with very little interesting investment option inside of the bar, and you are constantly looking for investment opportunities. This is the situation that creates excess liquidity in the country. This is a very interesting framework to explain the formation of bubbles in China. In the domestic economy, you have a lot of liquidity that couldn't get out of the country, and that is looking for good return investments. If you think about the past years, real estate has been for a very long time an investment of choice for households until the housing market crashed at the end of 2014. Then, still in search of interesting return that they couldn't get with bank deposits, a large number of households invested in the stock market. The second cause of the bubble in the stock market is the increasing number of retail investors on the market. What is a retail investor? A retail investor, as opposed to institutional investor, is an investor like you and I who decided to open a trading account to trade stocks on the market. Chinese government has announced its intention to develop the domestic stock market in November 2013. The government has made a number of announcements encouraging the retail investors to invest in the stock market, making clear that the government will support the market development. The number of trading accounts held by retail investors has reached more than 200 million in January 2016 and representing more than 80% of the total of the accounts. This is an important point which explains that Chinese stock market is certainly less rational than other markets. Indeed, most of the retail investors lack sufficient financial education. For example, a professor of finance in Shanghai explained to me that the announcement of a dividend paid in stocks has systematically a positive impact on stock price in China. This is not rational, because dividend paid in stocks is like a stock split. It is splitting the pie into more share, but doesn't make the pie bigger. So it doesn't create any value. The price impact is very likely due to the poor financial background of most of the retail investors. Furthermore, arbitrage trading, which aims at exploiting market inefficiencies and makes market less volatile, are quasi inexistent in China. Indeed, trading costs are relatively high and the quality of economic and financial data is still insufficient. The encouragements of the government to develop the stock market has pushed a lot of retail investors to invest in the stock market and create the condition of a stock crash. Third, margin trading is one of the key reasons that has led to the market bubble. What is margin trading? Margin trading is simply buying stock with debt. For example, let's say that my grandma has opened a trading account. She could buy 100 yuan of stocks using only 30 yuan of her saving and borrowing 70 yuan. The leverage will allow her to multiply her gain when the price is going up. Propped by retail investors and margin trading, market indexes have increased like never before from June 2014 to June 2015, just before our trip in Gansu. The amount of margin financing has gone up very significantly during that period. Having noticed the danger of a huge increase in debt, the CSRC has published on the 12th of June 2015, a regulation limiting strictly the use of margin financing. That was the moment when everyone realized that the emperor was naked. Since the 12th of June, Chinese stock index has been dropping very significantly. Conclusion: the formation of a bubble on the stock market has been permitted by three main elements. First, the financial repression that led to excess liquidity in the domestic markets. Second, the government support to develop the stock market that attracted a lot of retail investors without good financial knowledge. Finally, margin trading propped up the markets. All that stopped on the 12th of June, couple of weeks before our trip with Colin. Was Colin going to travel alone? The answer after a short break. Welcome back to the show. After a lot of discussions and hesitation, we finally made a decision.
And then in the end, you could make it, but on one condition. And that was you had to work like every day while on vacation. So whenever we were at like train stations, you'd always pull out your computer and read your big article about economy and or whatever. And that was a lot of our vacation.
It was in the end a very nice trip. We had the chance to admire amazing Buddhist wall painting in Tuen Huang and to go to Tibetan monastery in Lamusi. Something I learned during this trip is that sometimes it is so much easier for a blonde brunette girl in China. So we were about to get into a train when a middle-aged train station employee told us,
"This is the wrong ticket. This is for yesterday's train." And I was caught off guard. I was not in charge of train tickets. And I'm like, "What? You bought the wrong train tickets?" So thankfully, I am a pretty white woman, blonde hair, blue eyes, and I've been living in China for a while, so I just bat my eyes at this middle-aged man. It always works, and I'm just like, and I'm like, "Please," in Chinese, like, "Please let us get on the train. Like, this is our vacation. It's going to be completely ruined. I have, my friend is incredibly idiotic. Let us off." So he said, okay, but there's only standing tickets.
We had a terrible night in the restaurant wagon, but we could get into the train. And had I been by myself, I'd be most likely sleeping in the train station floor. By the time of our trip, the stock market has started to stabilize, but this didn't last for very long. Next, what has triggered a second stock market crash on the first days of 2016? Monday, 4th of January 2016, the first trading day of the year, Shanghai stock market has lost 6.9%, while Shenzhen has lost 8.2%. What happened? First, the financial environment wasn't stable. Disappointing PMI, which measures manufacturing activity, has been published earlier. Furthermore, there was a big uncertainty over the exchange rates, and there was an important amount of capital outflow. In this very uncertain environment, two elements has triggered the second market crash. Remember, the government has taken during the first market correction a certain number of very radical measures. Among those measures, big investors were forbidden to sell their stock for 6 months. And this was, well, almost 6 months ago. Numerous sales were likely to follow the end of the selling restriction. And of course, anticipating the potential drop in price, other investors decided to sell before that. The other cause of the market crash is very unusual. On the same day, the CSRC, the stock market regulator, has implemented a circuit breaker mechanism. What is a circuit breaker? It is a mechanism that stops trading if the market fluctuation is too big. The Chinese circuit breaker stopped automatically all trades when the CSI 300, a stock index composed by stock in Shanghai and Shenzhen stock market, fluctuates over 5%. Then there is a, quote, "cooling period," end quote, of 15 minutes, and if the drop continues to 7%, all trades stop for the day. In the US, the circuit breaker mostly allows algorithmic traders to adjust the equation to the new market condition. There are not that many algorithmic traders in China, and the cooling period were basically a period for investors to panic. Few minutes after resuming to trade, the stock market dropped to 7% and all trade were suspended for the day.
Today, China's stock market plunged 7% and then was shut down altogether for the day. It's the second time in just 4 days the China markets have crashed badly.
3 days later, on the 7th of January, the circuit breaker stopped all trade in the first hour of trading. After not even an hour, the market were closed and everyone could go home for the day. At the time, great jokes were made on Chinese traders' work-life balance. That day, the CSRC decided to stop the mechanism itself. The circuit breaker was broken. By the time, it seemed that the market has not reached an equilibrium and that it was still propped by governmental measures. After that episode, the volatility in the stock market seems to have decreased, and the Shanghai Stock Index is, in September 2016, around 3,000 points. Conclusion. In a very uncertain environment, the second market drop has been triggered by the anticipation of the end of stop selling restriction and has been amplified by the circuit breaker. The stock market seems to have stabilized now. Next, what is the impact of the stock market crash on Chinese economy and on world economy? First, what is the impact on Chinese economy? Does the stock market crash mean that the entire economy is in bad shape? Well, to be really clear, not at all. As we have seen, the stock market bubble has been triggered by market conditions like excess liquidity. And the fact that the market has crashed doesn't give us any useful information on the shape of the Chinese economy. Furthermore, the macroeconomic impact of the market crash seems to be very limited for three reasons. First, the stock market represents a very tiny amount of the economy, about 6% of GDP in 2014, compared to 150% for bank financing. Second, due to regulation, the banking sector is not very exposed to the stock market. Only 2% of banks' assets has been invested in the stock market. Third, the wealth effect on household, which is a reduction in the consumption due to the reduction in wealth, appears to be very limited as well. Only 5% of the household asset has been invested in the stock market. In the end, we can say that the event had a big political impact since the credibility of China policymakers were affected. The head of the CSRC, Xiao Gong, who had a terrible year, has been replaced in February 2016. What is the impact of the stock market crash abroad? First, what is the effect of the Chinese stock market crash on international financial markets? If the initial effect on international financial market has been substantial, the contagion seems more due to uncertainty rather than to financial link. In China, a certain number of papers has been published pointing out the role of foreign hedge funds who were short-selling the stock market, betting on its crash. We could be very skeptical about this explanation since the Chinese capital account is highly regulated, making foreign investors' participation in the domestic stock market difficult. Since foreign participation in domestic stock market is small, this implies that the direct impact of the stock market crash on other financial markets is small as well. So let's summarize. After a year-long increase, Chinese stock markets have dropped very significantly, triggering a strong reaction from the authority. The formation of a bubble on the stock market has been permitted by three main elements. First, the financial repression leading to excess liquidity. Second, the government support to develop the stock markets. And third, margin trading. In a very uncertain environment, a second market drop in the first week of 2016 has been triggered by the anticipation of the end of the stock selling restriction and has been amplified by the circuit breaker. The macroeconomic and financial impact in the domestic economy and abroad is, however, very limited. Everyone seems to leave Beijing sooner or later. So did Colin, who is now back to the US. And for her, the moral of this story is...
Something that I did learn from the experience, though, is that I should probably not travel with an economist again.
This episode has been edited with the very valuable help of Thomas Graziani and Wolfgang Krieger. A special thanks to Colin. Beijing miss you. Also, we'll be really happy to hear from you. You can send us feedback to chinaeconomicpodcast@gmail.com. If you want to support the show, you can also give us a review on iTunes. It helps others to find the show. In the next episode, we will explore Chinese banking and shadow banking sector as I'm trying to invest my very limited amount of saving. Bring back the beat, and then everyone sings.